Yes, I'm going to call the meeting to order. We don't have a quorum right now, but we can get started. We have a bill for us today that Representative Abler has, so we can't move anything at this point in time. And this is going to be, when we deal with it, it'll be a motion to refer it to civil law, but until we have a quorum, I don't think we can do that. So, Representative Abler, if you'd like to start us off, I would appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Every so often, things happen that just don't make any sense, and tragedies occur. And the system doesn't always know how to react to that. Many of you know that we had a tragedy a year and a half ago with our son, and he died. And so we met other people in our life who, there's actually quite a few of them, and I'm not coming to talk about that today, but just that's the background of the story. And nobody wishes for it to happen. It's unforeseen when the young people untimely pass away for any number of reasons. And I think there's a gap in the system, as we have experienced this and as our friend experienced it. You know, when people move into senior housing and they're like 80 or 100 years old, they kind of think, well, at some point they're not going to be able to pay the rent because they'll be gone. And so there's provisions, and everybody expects that. When you're dealing with young men and women in their young 20s who are single, all those come back to the parents, which you didn't think would happen. Anyway, so what this is about is if there's and I tried to draft it narrowly, and I think it needs a bit more work on the way to civil law, but the idea of it is that if you have a tragic death like this of a younger person, I picked age 26 because that's under the ACA where you get dependent coverage goes to that number. That number is probably flexible. But if they should untimely die, then the lease is going to be terminated as well because it comes out of the family, and that's the point of the bill, and I'll take questions. I do have one witness who can talk about her circumstance, but that's the background, Mr. Chair.
Okay. I don't see any questions, so if you'd like to have your witness introduce herself, and we'd like to hear from your witness.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Cheryl Petrick, and on June 20th of 2011, I lost my son. He was 22 years old, and he was living in his own apartment, and his name alone was on the lease, as he was old enough to do that. Within the next 10 days, before June 30th hit, I was forced to bury my son as well as clean out his apartment of everything he owned. I had the apartment emptied by June 30th, and it honestly was in better condition than it was when he moved in, as I am a cleaning lady. So I notified the property managers, and I left the keys. The on-site staff then went through the apartment and told me that it looked amazing, and they would be then putting the damage deposit in the mail. His damage deposit was actually the equivalent of of 1 month's rent. When I did not get this damage deposit in the mail, after a month I actually called the property management company, and I was told that I was not only not going to get the damage deposit back, but indeed that they could then also charge me an additional month's rent, even though the apartment was emptied as of July 1st. And what I find odd is his lease only required a 1 month written notice to vacate, but now I was going to be being charged 2 months after vacating. And I actually asked them how a person's supposed to give a 2 month written notice when they are dead. And they just told me that they could not only keep it, but then charge me for an additional month's rent. And I asked them why, when the apartment was ready to be rented. Within the same month he passed away, they could have rented it as of July 1st. And what was to stop them from then charging me an extra month's rent as well as renting out? And she said nothing. They could charge me that 2 months rent because it's written as a statute, as well as turn around and then rent it out on time as of July 1st. And that was the end of it. I never got the damage deposit back. And I mean, you can't even imagine how hard it is to go clean out your son's apartment of all this stuff. Sorry.
It's all right.
And then you have to deal with the rest of it. So, I mean, just feel like the statute is not... Thank you. I had no intentions of doing this. But I just feel like the statute is just not family-friendly. I mean, when you're already grieving, you don't need to then put up with this. You know, I mean, people just... I mean, it almost feels like they're just being mean. And then when they actually mailed me the statute, I couldn't believe it. It was just like, oh, okay. So I wondered, why wouldn't I have just left it all full of his stuff? What, you know, I'm not going to get charged anymore. I'm not on a lease. I mean, I could have just left it full of all of his stuff and walked away from it, but I'm trying to be responsible because he signed a lease. I'm trying to be responsible to hold up his end of the lease, which was to clean out his stuff when he left. And then to turn around and they say to you, you know, sorry, too bad. It's not about the money. It's about the fact that it's like you're getting kicked when you're down. So that was my situation.
Thanks, Ms. Teestrick. I appreciate your testimony, and we're sorry for your loss. I do notice that right now we do have quorum, so I'd like to officially recognize that we do have quorum at this point. And that also, if we could have somebody quickly move the approval of the minutes, I was wondering if Representative O'Neill.
Oh, so moved.
Okay, it's been moved. All in favor of approving the minutes from our last meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, opposed? Okay, motion carries. First of all, are there any questions of the testifiers we have? And I see Representative Zerwas has a question.
If we have a quorum, can I move Representative Abler's bill?
Please, I would be happy to recognize that Representative Zerwas is moving the bill to be referred to
civil law.
To civil law. Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee? Seeing none, is there? Oops, I'm sorry, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and again, yeah, we're sorry for your loss. And it's a sad story. Representative Abler, just had a quick question on your bill. What would happen if somebody died like the last day or two of the month? How would your bill affect that situation?
Representative Abler?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And we wrote it to kind of address the concerns. There's some technical pieces we need to work out, and I'm open to advice about that. But it seems that whatever we do, we can't have, this shouldn't happen like that. And that's what I'm trying to address. There's a way to make it narrow. Maybe 26 is the right age. Maybe it's, you know, but at the end of the day, I did my son's estate. I never knew he had how many little details there are to mess with a kid who doesn't have very much stuff. Cars and just all the things you have to dispose of. And at the end of the day, there's no assets to really get from these young people. And so should the landlord want to sue for specific performance, there's nobody to sue. The estate has, I mean, you can sue the estate, but there's like, these aren't even probated a lot of times. There's just like a car with payments, and they got some junk and some rings and a lighter and, you know, all their CD collection or their iPods. And it's all little miscellaneous stuff, and there's no real value to even go after. And so that's part of the irony of the statute. And it doesn't recognize the suddenness of it and the situation the family's in. It's just not a good deal when someone passes away like this. Nobody wins. And I think in a normal world, I've talked to a number of landlords, and they said they never would have done this to a woman like this. Just never, ever. And so if it's never, ever thing, well, let's just write it down and make sure it's a plan. And so I'm not sure if I've answered your question, but I'm open to advice about that element.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Chair.
You're welcome.
Representative Abler and Ms. Petrich, I just am very sorry for your loss. I also am a parent who has lost a child, and I hear the pain in your voice, and I've lived through that. Mine was a little bit younger than yours, and I didn't have to deal with the situation like you did, but I can definitely empathize with going through the loss and going through your child's things and the pain that is, and I'm sorry for your loss. Representative Abler, I actually have a question, just some of the finer points of the bill itself. And so I understand that you were very responsible, Ms. Petrich, and you took care of the things and you cleaned everything out and it was ready to rent again. But Representative Abler, what if it's a situation where the family doesn't come and clean it out and yet doesn't pay? What does this law change do to give the landlord still some ability to make those things happen if they're not being paid and it's not ready to rent?
Representative Abler.
Well, thank you, Ms. Chairman, Representative O'Neill. I had some help from House Research to write this, and maybe she could comment on that. And if we've left a gap, I'm open to address it. But you have to understand at the end of the day that there's really no resources to get. It's like to make the landlord whole either. So maybe Ms. Mullins could offer some advice.
Ms. Mullin?
Chair and representatives, the way this operates is that the surviving heirs or the parent can opt to do this, but if you don't, you would just go under the regular part of the statute that already exists. So it's a 60-day lease cancellation by either the heirs or the landlord. So the landlord would probably do in a situation where nobody showed up and the apartment needed to be rented, they would cancel the lease with the 60 days notice. They would probably clean it out, and they could pursue any other housing remedies that are available. They could sue an estate, or if there is an estate, they could sue for the money for rent, or they could withhold the deposit, or they could sue for damages. So it would operate just as the law is. This is simply an option for the heirs or the parents to elect to do this way. Does that answer the question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Are there any further questions? Seeing none, is there anyone else in the audience that would like to testify today on this motion? Seeing no one else, Representative Zeros renews his motion to approve this and on House File Number 565 and refer to civil law.
Okay.
Mr. Chair. Oh, I'm sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could just offer one more comment. There are some people in the audience that have some interest in this, and that those discussions will be ongoing between now and civil law. So if you have other ideas on how to make this focused and accomplish the good of it without causing too much harm to the current system, I'm all ears. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Taylor. Okay, next we have on the agenda House File Number 666, carry forward charge from 1 year to 3 years and reallocations reserved for 2013. This is by Representative Morgan. First of all, we have the bill in front of us. Is this to be referred to another committee? Okay, this is something that will be referred to taxes. Is there somebody that would like to make that motion? Representative Isaacson moves the approval of this and then referral to tax committee. Representative Morgan, would you like to take over, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will take over briefly and then turn it over to Ms. Orr from Housing Finance Agency. This bill is a conforming bill to federal law on private activity tax exempt bonds. It's pretty weedy as far as how it actually works, and that's why Ms. Orr will be here to help you get through the weeds if you have any questions about that. But essentially, we are conforming to federal law. So with that, I'll turn it over to Tanya Orr.
Mr. Chair, I'm Tanya Orr from the Housing Finance Agency. As Representative Morgan mentioned, this bill relates to tax-exempt bonds. They are private activity revenue bonds. They are not GO bonds. The federal government allocates a certain amount of tax-exempt private activity bonds to the states each year. And under federal law, issuers have 3 years after the year in which the bonds are allocated in which to issue the bonds. These bonds are used for a variety of things. Primarily, they're used for funding first-time home buyer mortgages, for affordable rental housing, for student loans, and for some manufacturing activities. Minnesota has had for a number of years a shorter period of time for issuing the bonds than federal law allows. And we have reached a point in time because of the market that it's been difficult to issue all of the bonds that are available to us. And we're at a point where we're at risk of losing this federal authority because of the more restrictive state law. So we are simply asking on behalf of all the entitlement issuers that the time period for issuing the bonds be extended from 1 year to 3 years.
Okay. Anyone have any questions? Seeing none, would anyone in the audience like to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none. Representative Isaacson, would you renew your motion?
So renewed.
Okay. And so House File 666 will be passed, and or if we do pass it, will be referred to taxes. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Okay. The motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. Thank you.
So that House File 666 was passed and referred to taxes. Okay. I guess we have no other business unless there's... Okay. We have an announcement from...
On Wednesday, we will be having a presentation on the possible impacts of the sequester on housing initiatives and programs. And so we'll have representatives from the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. And then also a reminder for next week, Monday, we are planning right now between 11 and about 2 or 2:30, if that works, for our site visits. Last Friday, we kind of finalized the site. So if you have any questions with that, let me know. But it'll be next Monday. So we won't actually be in here. We will be doing the site tour, sites tour. Thank you.
Any questions to that? Any other announcements? Well, we are adjourned.